today as we come to the table.
Not only is God going to do it, but he's going to do it in a strong and undeniable way. Everyone that sees this, Moses, will know it's my hand. Isn't that great? I love it. And God sometimes does that. Sometimes what God will do is God will let us step out in faith and fail. And why does God do that? Because he wants us, first of all, not to rely on ourselves. And number two, when it does work, when God's time is there, then who gets the glory? What if you got a charismatic leader, or say you're a charismatic person yourself, and you get things done, you're a can-do guy or a can-do girl, and you're always getting things done, well then when it comes time for God to get the glory, who's going to get the glory? You are.
God wants you to step out in faith. He's on the move, and you're invited to join him. And sometimes you'll need to simply start moving. And sometimes, especially if you're relying on yourself to get it done, you might fail. But as Pastor Mark will talk about today, that's okay, and that might be part of God's plan. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God deserves the glory for anything done in his name. He is, after all, the reason you're following him and the source of your salvation. So in all that you do, remember who it is that's orchestrating events. And if you just can't see how something will work, do it anyway. God will make it happen, if he so desires. Now turn to Exodus chapter 6 and join Pastor Mark as he begins his message, Our Intimate God.
Aren't you glad God is an intimate God? How many of you guys came from a background where God was just the man upstairs or almighty or someone you knew was probably there but you didn't really know much about? You know, we could all raise our hand to some of these at some point in our life because we didn't really know him intimately. But once you come to know the Lord in an intimate way, there's no turning back and there's nothing to take the place of it, is there? There's nothing. And if you're here and you don't know the Lord in that intimate way, you're missing out. You're missing out on the intimacy of the Lord in your life. And we're going to see that Moses had this. The children of Israel did not yet have this. Moses was sent to them to demonstrate it in front of them. One of the reasons God sent Moses to the children of Israel was not only to set them free and to deliver them from the bondage of Egypt and to paint the whole picture of salvation and all that's going on there, but to live a life in front of them to where they would say, you know what, that guy's got something I don't have. I want that. Seeing that relationship. You ever seen people like that? You want the relationship they have with the Lord. There's an intimacy and there's a realness. You know, I grew up, again, the whole religious thing and not really knowing the Lord. And I remember when I came to know the Lord, it was so real. It's like, I know you. And he would, yes, and I know you. And there was this conversation that we would have in the spirit that was very intimate. It still happens now, but it was so new because it had never happened before. And I'll never forget how real it was. And I remember one time praying with a group of people. And you know, when you know the Lord and you've got that personal, intimate relationship with him, as I know most of you guys in this room have, maybe all, when you have that kind of intimacy with the Lord, because it's not just God, it's not just religion, it's not just someone that's out there real far away, you've come to know him now and he's real in your life and you're trying to explain that to other people that just don't get it. They can see that in your life and they can hear it in your prayers. And I don't say this in any way other than I was just a baby Christian, just in love with the Lord. Just, I couldn't believe that I actually knew him and that he actually knew me and that we actually, you know, he would talk to me from his word and I would pray and he would answer and even little things. He would do all these things to always let me know he was there and loving me. And I remember praying with some people one time and just that sweetness of the Lord's presence. And when I got done, one of them said to me, you pray like you know him. And it was an unbeliever saying that. You pray like you know him. And it took me by surprise because it's kind of like, doesn't everybody? And I was like, I do. And I used it as a chance to share. But I remembered at that moment, you know what? Before I came to know him, I didn't have that. I didn't understand that. There wasn't that connection. And even when I saw other people with it, I was like, what do they have? Guys, there's nothing special about anybody that has that. It's our God that's special. And it's the relationship. That's all it is. And tonight, as we look at this whole episode with Moses in chapter 6, it's about really focusing in on the intimacy of God, because God is now going to really show his intimacy to Moses tonight. And he's not only going to show his intimacy to Moses, he's going to tell Moses about the intimacy yet to come. Moses, I want to be close to you. I want to be intimate with you. I want a personal relationship. I want you to hear my voice. I want to hear yours. And Moses really had it. I mean, Moses was one of these guys the Bible says knew the Lord face to face. You ever felt the Lord so close? It's like he's right there. You know, we all go through seasons where we're really close, and then we go through seasons where we feel farther away, okay? So if you're in a season that you feel farther away, and I talk about being close or this kind of thing, hey, we all go through different seasons in our life. That's part of our walk with the Lord. And you guys, if you've ever had that true intimacy with the Lord, you know what I'm talking about when it's like face to face. He's right there. And it's so sweet. It's more than just powerful. It's sweet. And there's nothing you would trade for in the whole wide world. This is what Moses is about to learn. See, Moses is still looking at God at this point as the Almighty. And that he is. Is God the Almighty? Yes. Moses knows him as the Almighty. That's how he knows him. El Shaddai. The Almighty, the Creator. He knows him as El Shaddai. But he doesn't know him yet as Yahweh, which is the personal God. The I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And Jesus introduced himself to Moses that way in the burning bush. But Moses had not yet truly experienced the Lord in regular intimacy that way. And so God is going to tell Moses, you're going to know me in a way that even Abraham and Jacob and Isaac didn't know me. They knew me. But you're going to know me in a deeper way than they didn't know. And there's this whole picture of God when he reveals himself to man. We started out knowing God in the most intimate sense with Adam and Eve. You couldn't know God any more intimately because we were really almost in heaven with him. There was no sin. There were eternal beings when they were created. There was a total connection to God. Sin came. There was that break. And ever since then, it's been, oh, now we're running from God. And now rather than this intimate personal relationship, mankind really is like, there's this God out there and he's almighty and he might judge me. And I know he's there. And I know that whatever this. And then God has to basically draw us back in and reintroduce himself. And so he starts out with reaching out to mankind and begins to give us the story through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that. And God reveals himself as the Almighty God. Yes, there was a personal relationship there. And God even revealed himself and said to them that he was Yahweh. So if you go back in Genesis, you'll see that God said he was Yahweh. Although he says here, you're going to know me as Yahweh. And they didn't. So God told them who he was, but God didn't reveal to them the Yahwehness. Yahweh really means, again, I am that I am. It's also the word Jehovah. And it's that intimacy. It's what we know now as believers. When we give our life to the Lord, that closeness, like, wow, I know him and he knows me. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. This is that intimate relationship. They didn't have the privilege of this back then. Remember that. The Holy Spirit did not come to live within the believers back then. He came upon them. He was with them. Remember the three workings of the Holy Spirit we see in Scripture. With, upon, and in. All they could get back then was with and upon. That is with them and then power to serve him. We now have all three. He's with us. He comes upon us to give us power. But he is also what? In us. And when did that happen? At the cross. So God is now going to do something for Moses that very few believers ever got until 2,000 years ago, until our world generation, the last 2,000 years. Now we have that openness for that intimacy with the Lord. Nobody had that. And so God is going to introduce himself to Moses tonight this way. And by the way, Moses needed this because the last time we left Moses off, and I hated to leave him that way for a whole week, but we left him in despair. He was really down. Moses was bummed because God had given Moses the call. These miracles had happened. He'd seen God Almighty. He didn't know him yet really as Yahweh, that intimate God, but he saw him as Almighty and knew that he was the God of his fathers. God had called him, spoken to him, sent him down there. He obeyed. He went and did what God told him to do. He went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And said, Pharaoh, who's the Lord? Get out of my face, basically. I'm the Lord here. You leave. And then all the people, remember, not only did Pharaoh get mad at him, they got mad at him because they turned up all the heat on him, made him work harder as slaves. So everybody hated Moses, you know. Pharaoh was hating him. All the people, I mean, look at it this way. He was the new pastor called to town. And not only does the mayor of the town hate him, the whole church that he's the pastor, they hate him. The city hates Moses. And Moses is standing there going, I just did what you asked me to do. Why does everybody hate me? God, where are you? Ever since I've come, it's only gotten worse. And that's where we're going to take up tonight. And guys, I want you to know this. Often when God calls us to do something, things will get worse before they get better. That's how the enemy works. Why? Because when you step out for the Lord, the enemy comes in to tear down and destroy and discourage. Don't be in despair about it. Realize that this is how the enemy works. And if you can make it beyond that, then God's going to do a great work. God's going to use you. And so whenever we step out, Satan will always be there to challenge us. And you know, is this really God? Or, you know, can you be sure that God's called you to do this? And then there'll always be the demonic realm and people that oppose the gospel that'll throw their 2 cents worth trying to discourage you. And so Moses here is not in a good place. Things are getting worse and it's gone from bad to worse. This is often how it happens with us. It doesn't always happen good immediately. it doesn't stay bad. That's the good thing. But that's part of the spiritual battle. So now I'm going to tell some of you this. You're going to mentally get this in your brain, but you're not going to really get it until you do it. Here's how I know that. I've done it. I was prepared mentally. Yes, when I step out, there's going to be a lot of opposition, and the enemy's going to try to discourage me and get me to quit and all that, whatever. And even still, knowing that when it happened, you know what I wanted to do? Quit! Even though I knew it. I knew it. I said, I know what's going on. I recognize this, but I still want to quit, and because it's just not easy to do. Again, this is where we take up with Moses tonight. You know, he's on the right track. God's going to encourage him. He's on the right track, but he's very discouraged. Again, Pharaoh's hating him. His own church is hating him, so to speak, the people he's gone back to. And the reason I say that is because this is going to really be a model of the church in the scripture. God uses Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt as a model for the church. And so we'll see that whole picture once we get into it more. But notice in verse 22 there of chapter 5, it says, so Moses returned to the Lord and he said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? And why is it that you sent me? What am I doing here? I mean, didn't I step out for you? Why is this so ugly? Why is it so hard? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people, and neither have you delivered your people at all. I mean, it's gotten worse. You sent me, you told me you're going to do these things, and it's only gotten worse. I love this answer God gives him. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now, and I have that underlined, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. You see, there's God's perfect timing. Moses thought God's timing was 40 years earlier. Stepped out in faith. And by the way, did Moses, you guys know this. I know you've already been here. If you've been with us in the study in Exodus, but did Moses really hear God's call to do what he was doing? Even 40 years earlier, did Moses hear the call of God? Yes. That was God's call. The problem was it wasn't God's timing. So Moses stepped out in faith, and what happened? He fell flat on his face. And I wonder if Moses didn't start thinking some of the things. You're like, you know, God, you know, did I miss it? Am I totally wrong? Was this not your voice that said this to me? And maybe, you know, maybe Moses had that feeling of, you know, I'm stepping out in faith and you've let me fall. And it'd be like the kid that he's standing there on the side and dad's in there in the water, you know. And dad's not saying jump, but in the kid's mind, he's hearing jump. I'll catch you, jump. And you've seen other people jump and you saw the father catch them. So you jump and the father's not ready for you to jump. And what happens? Kaboom. And you find yourself struggling not to drown. And God, in his grace, grabs you by the scruff, kind of like Peter when he went under, pulls you out of the water, sets you up on the side of the pool. Lord, I stepped out in faith and it was a total failure. What happened? It's not a failure. I told you to do it, just not yet. Wait till I say, come to daddy. How about that? Just learn to hear my voice and wait till I say, jump. And when I say jump, then jump. Moses saw daddy. He jumped. It was the right thing at the wrong time. And now Moses has been brought back by God 40 years later, restored after all this stuff happened. He goes and does what the Lord tells him to do. And once again, what does it look like? He's jumped and the father didn't catch him. Back up on the side. Right? No, you're okay this time, Moses. This time it's really time. But I had to have you go do that first. I had to let Pharaoh see what I was going to do. I had to let the children of Israel see what I was going to do. He says, now you're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let him go. And with a strong hand, he will drive him out. Now, I've underlined three words in that verse, strong, strong, and drive. This is what God is going to do. God is, and this, you know, I think about this. All right, he says, you're worried about if I'm going to help you. And if I've sent you, you watch now what I'm going to do. Wouldn't this be great to hear? Think about Moses. He'd be like, all right, Lord, you said you were going to, and now I'm hearing your voice again. And God says, with a strong hand, he says, he will let them go. With a strong hand, he will drive them out. That is, not only is God going to do it, but he's going to do it in a strong and undeniable way. Everyone that sees this, Moses, will know it's my hand. Isn't that great? I love it. And so, and God sometimes does that. Sometimes what God will do is God will let us step out in faith and fail. And why does God do that? Because he wants us, first of all, not to rely on ourselves. And number two, when it does work, when God's time is there, then who gets the glory? What if you got a charismatic leader, or say you're a charismatic person yourself, and you get things done, you're a can-do guy or a can-do girl, and you're always getting things done. Well, then when it comes time for God to get the glory, who's going to get the glory? You are. And they're going to say, boy, that guy can really, he is really something, man. He can, I mean, whoa. Whew. Or that girl, nobody like her. I mean, I'll tell you what else. You know, she can really this and that. No. God gets right. See, this is what I love about the Tim Tebow thing going on right now. Don't you love that? Because really, he's very mature. You know, you think about him. He's young. How old is Tim Tebow? 23 years old or something? 24? This guy was raised, though, knowing the Lord in the mission field since he was little. So he's really like 24 years in Christ. Think about that. He's a 24-year-old who's 24 years in Christ. And probably the first year or two, he didn't get much out of, first year anyway. So maybe 23 years in Christ. But what I love about it, it's just who he is. He's not a guy trying to make a stand. You know, I think it's good when we as Christians, when we try to make a stand, that is commendable and we should do it, right? We should. But have you seen the difference between a believer who's maybe younger in the Lord and they're trying to make a stand and a person who just is? Tebow just is. He's not trying to make a stand and say the name of Jesus each time the mic's in front of him so he can be a good witness. That's just who he is. He's not trying to be anybody. That's who he's been since he was little. He's still that way, and Satan hates it. See, this shocking the nation and the world or whatever, and Satan hates it, which means you can be sure there's going to be some major attack coming his way really soon. Absolutely. It's already, he's getting hit on it. But what's good about this is that because he's not in all of his interviews talking about, you know, himself and all the hard work he's done and how he's really this, who's getting the glory? When they talk about Tim Tebow, they're saying, you know, maybe there is something to this divine stuff. You heard that on the news? Maybe there really is something to this God. Maybe this is supernatural. Why are they saying that? They're not saying that Tim Tebow is supernatural. They're saying there's a God behind him. Why? Because it's simply a life reflecting God. And that's how it's supposed to be. And I think sometimes God will allow us, if we aren't able to do that yet, God will allow us to fail. And I wasn't able to do that. I don't know that I still am able to do that. But I know that God's let me fail so much, I'm thinking, Lord, at some point, you know, at some point I'm bound to get it and something's, you're about to, you know, maybe do something. You know, there's certain scriptures I read, and, you know, the Bible says that if you faint, you know, when times are hard, your strength is weak. And I'm thinking, okay, now what? You know, you just told me what's going on, but now what? You know, what's the answer to that? And of course, we know, run to the Lord and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says that, you know, before honor comes humility, and you begin to think, well, how many years of humility does it take? You know, I'm 48 now, and so, you know, when does that honor thing begin? And maybe some of you are in the same place. Listen, God's only going to use me in what I can handle. I remember hearing Pastor Chuck say one time, he said, you know, there's not many men that are used in great ways, you know, really in big ways, because they can't handle it. The moment God begins to make a worldwide ministry, now a lot of guys try to put that up there, you know, we are the Church of the International Outreach Ministry or whatever. They put the big international, and a lot of times when you see that, that tells a lot of the motive of the heart. You know, if you're an international ministry, you typically don't have to tell people. You just are. And you're reaching the world because you reach them. You don't have to put that in your name. I want to be careful on that. I'm not saying that means something's wrong. The point is, you know, the way that God works with us is, what can we handle? If he says, all right, Mark, that's all you can handle, because you're just going to just really be puffed up and I can't use you any more than that. So if I can use you here, so I'm going to use you that much. I'm like, all right, Lord, then do what you have to do to get me where I'm not puffed up. Do what you have to do where I can be humble, and do what you have to do so you can use me, you know, more. That's really my prayer to the Lord, is, God, do what you have to do in my life to get me to you to be used more. And I'm starting not to like that prayer, because it seemed easier before I started praying that. So I don't, you know, God uses us where he can use them. And so, you know, God here is saying Moses is now in a place he can be used. He spent 40 years the backside of the desert with this small little flock, just a few little sheep, you know. Lord, is the church ever going to grow? Lord, I mean, I've been back here 40 years. You know, I'm 80 now. And probably by the time he hit about 70, he's probably thinking, you know, 70, I don't even care if the church grows now. And then by the time God got to Moses, what did Moses say? And God said, Moses, go, I'm going to give you a huge church, over 2 million people, you know. Because now you're humble, you're ready, you can handle it without getting weird on me. So you're ready, and I'm going to use you in big ways, and I've trained you, I've done all these things, and you're like, whatever. Then what did Moses say? Send somebody else, you know. I think what's really ironic is, by the time God gets us to the place to where he can really use us, oftentimes, you know, we don't want to be used. And that really reveals the heart, doesn't it? Because maybe there's a little bit of glory seeking in there. Maybe there's a little bit of, I want to be important. I want to be the important pastor, biggest church in town. They're really growing down there at Calvary Chapel. God says, until that's gone, I can't do anything with you. It stinks. It's putrid to me in heaven. So just love me. Teach the word, Moses. Take care of the few sheep I've given you in the backside of the desert. And if and when you're ever ready, and if and when I decide to do it, I'm the Lord. It's my church. I'll do something more. Your job is to man your post. Man, you'll never forget that. There was a time when I was thinking, Lord, you know, every pastor goes through this. If they don't tell you the truth, they're lying. But every pastor goes through that desire. This is it. I'm done. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to, you know, whatever, you know, move to the mountains and just, you know, hide, grow a beard and walk with bears everywhere or something. You know? And I remember going through one of those kind of pouty times, and God spoke to me so loud. He said, man your post. man, your post. That's all he said. I heard it. It's like it broke through all the, it just broke through the noise. And I don't even think that way. I'm not a military guy. I don't think, man, your post. When would I ever say that? I don't say that. But I heard it's clear as day, man, your post. And I was like, I remember almost thinking, I may have even said out loud, Lord, was that you? And again, I heard, man, your post. And I knew at that moment, I get it. I get it. Regardless of what's going on, be faithful where I am and let him take care of the results. See, this is what God's doing in Moses. This is what God's done in me and in doing in me. This is what God will do in you guys. We're all the same. There's no difference in us in this room. We all go through the same things, the same temptations, the same struggles. We all do. Some of us are at different places in our maturity, and so we deal with it where we are. Moses is now at a place where God is saying, all right, I can use you, and I'm going to, with a strong hand, you know, I'm going to get you out of there. Moses, by the time I'm done with Pharaoh, he'll drive you out. He's going to say, get out of Egypt. You're worried about me moving on your behalf? When I'm done, they'll be pushing you out, you know. They're going to be behind you. Go. And this is exactly what happens when we get to the 10th plague and he kills the firstborn. Pharaoh's saying, go. Get out of here, you know, and pray for me. You know, it's amazing. Instead of, you know, I hate your guts, he's like, pray for me too. He recognized God in his life, you know. The word drive here, when he says drive him out, it means to cast up, to drive out, to drive away, to expel, to put away, to thrust out, or to trouble. And that perfectly describes Pharaoh's attitude toward them by the time this is all done. He says, I'm going to drive him out, Moses. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I love this. Guys, if you didn't know what this word was, you just read it, you'd miss this. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. You can't do it your way anymore. You have to do it Yahweh. Now that's corny. But you'll never forget that. You'll probably wish you could. Yahweh. He says, Moses, you're worried about all this stuff. I'm about to introduce myself to you in a personal way. You know, it's funny. It seems like before I met the Lord in a really intimate way, I was always uptight about God. You know, what's he thinking? Does he hate me? Is he going to do something? Am I in trouble? And then once you meet him, there's a peace that comes over you. You ever been around certain people that you're just really close to? I mean, they are typically your husband or your wife, maybe even another friend that's outside of that. And when you're with them, you can just totally relax. I mean, you can just really just kind of, I'm safe here. I'm protected. This is a safe place. I really like this. That's what it's like to have that intimacy with the Lord. Because you don't have to perform. You don't have to be important or the big wig. You just are, and he is, and he loves you, and you love him, and life is sweet. There's a rest. There's a peace. That's what Yahweh's all about. This is our God, guys. He's an intimate God. He wants to know us in a personal, sweet way. He wants that sweetness, the intimacy. Relax. But I'm not doing good. Well, who cares? It's up to him how you do. He's the one that gave you any abilities or talents you have. He's the one that will anoint them or use them. And if he doesn't, he's the Lord. Is it not enough that you're saved? Is it not enough that I'm saved? I always come back to this. I'm saved. If nothing else happens, I'm good. I'm Yahweh. I love it. Seems like an obvious statement, but how powerful. After hearing Pharaoh's rejection of what Moses had to say and seeing the anger of the people, this would be awesome in Moses. Because he'd be like, you know what, Lord? Maybe I'll just head back up toward the backside of the desert. Things were easier back there. Now I come down here, I answer your call, and I thought that everybody loved me and all the doors would open and everything would be easy. It's the exact opposite. They hate my guts and everything's closing. When are you going to move, God? What's going on?
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.